Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 25th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. It's an exciting day at the White House, the Paul White House. I don't know if it's an exciting day at the American White House or not, but it's an exciting day at the White House. Today's the day that my son Lucas graduates from high school. We host his graduation party tomorrow. We have his end-of-year baseball banquet on Sunday. At the time I'm recording this podcast, they are about to start the state playoffs. Don't know how deep they'll go into that. If they do go deep, they would still be playing at the time this airs. Let's hope for the best. How about that? Either way, very exciting weekend at our house, and we're about to head headlong into the summer, and all of you are about to do the same thing wherever you may be, and I'm hoping and praying you have a tremendous summer. We have one of great activity and busyness. We'll be doing a lot of preaching in different places in the month of June, and then a little bit of travel in July for ministry, and then it's off to the great state of Georgia. We'll relocate our family near the end of the summer. So I'll keep you up to date on some of the happenings at our place as we head into this summer. I would like to also add a thanks to the people, to the many people who have given in response to our move, who have earmarked some funds for our move. We appreciate that so much. We are shoring up some of the final debts in the state of California. We've had, they have a very significant payroll tax in the state of California that we've been working on, and I think we've got that solved at least up until this year. And so that's exciting news, and it took way more of our budget to do that than we had allotted for. But God is so faithful. It's so amazing to me how the funds will be there. The Father knows what we need before we even ask. Now, I do believe James said, "You have not because you ask not." I think that was James's way of saying, "Hey, if you need something from Dad, maybe tug on Daddy's nightshirt. You're the child in the bed. Don't beat on the door. Talk to your Father." And so I've talked to the Father about it quite frequently. I always get a peace in my spirit, and every now and then I hear him say, "Ask those who love your ministry and who are fed by you to give if they can." And I do that, and I feel that a little bit today, and would ask, I want to say thanks to those who have given, and I would ask those of you who maybe have considered it to consider it again. Just a little bit goes a long, long way. There are thousands of you out there, and if everyone gives a little bit, of course, that takes care of it all. But we do have some other debts and or other bills, particularly some things that need to be done in order for the move to completely be paid for, and that we're just trusting the Father for it. We don't browbeat, intimidate, make promises. We just spread good news, and as the seed gets tossed, we trust that those who are being fed by it will respond. One of the things that happens in us as believers, as we respond to the righteousness found in Christ, we hope, according to Galatians 5, we hope that that righteousness comes out in us. We know it's already in us. We are journeying together in this DDP through Galatians, and we're in Galatians 5. Remember when Paul said, we hope, this is back in verse 5, through the Spirit we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. As that happens, we start to see the budding fruit of the Spirit in our life. And I think I've been guilty of breaking down the fruit of the Spirit a little too much. I've done sermons where it's the fruit, not the fruits, and so they're all going to be growing equally and not at different pace, and I think I got a little too intense there. I take the broader view and step back, and I think walking slowly through Galatians has helped me to do this. As you take the broad view and step back, you start to see where Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's in contrast, directly in contrast, to the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh, within context, is not just Paul saying, here's a bunch of sinful stuff people do. That would have been unnecessary. Nobody needs a list of stuff that people do that are wrong. We know a bunch of stuff is wrong. Paul's point is not to list off a bunch of wrongs any more than Paul's point is to list off a bunch of rights in the fruit of the Spirit. What Paul's doing with the works of the flesh is showing you the end result of a life lived according to the system of Hagar. if you allow Hagar to be your spiritual mother and dictate the terms through performance, what you will end up being is not sanctified and holy. What you will end up being is a conduit by which these terrible things come out of you, which will lead to a life of shame and condemnation. The contrast is to be a daughter of Sarah, a son of Sarah, Ishmael, child of promise, part of the seed of the family of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus. If you choose that route, which Paul believed his audience truly was, he said, because Sarah is the mother of us all, Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. When you choose that route, you're not walking according to the fleshly ways of performance. You're walking according to the supernatural ways of the Spirit. And the end result of the supernatural ways of the Spirit will be verse 22. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's 22 and 23. There's another sentence in 23 we'll deal with tomorrow. But notice when Paul lists these off, where I think I've made the mistake is declaring, again, fruit being one, so they're all going to be equal, and two, this is the stuff that ought to be growing out of us, and this is, they're all originated through the activity of the Holy Spirit. However, if we're really honest with ourselves, Paul uses these in other passages and makes it appear as if it's something you do. For instance, in Colossians, when Paul says, put off the old man and put on the man in which you've been renewed, which is renewed in righteousness and holiness. And Paul says some of the things you're going to have to put on is love. Well, love is listed as the first fruit of the Spirit, and fruit's supposed to be something that grows without your effort. So rather than breaking this down and making it these individual things that we hope to see budding in our lives, I think Paul is just giving you an illustration. He's saying, look, if you live after Hagar and the performance-based mentality of doing good to get good, you're only going to end up with trash, and this is what some of it will look like. But if you realize that you're a son of Sarah and you're living according to that, then the Holy Spirit's byproducts are going to be the things you want, not the things you don't want. And who doesn't want love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I mean, these things are actually going to grow in us. It doesn't mean we're going to this is where I disagree with the Paul from several years ago. It doesn't mean you're going to have equal amounts of love and joy and peace because the fruit is all fruit singular, not plural. No, I don't think that's the case. That's not even being realistic. Why tell people to put on love if we're all going to have an equal amount of it in the Spirit? No, there's still some action that goes into this. I mean, for Pete's sake, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, the difference is squeezing our efforts into it versus hoping for the righteousness that will be revealed. And so hoping for the righteousness that will be revealed, and by the way, did you notice righteousness he does not list as one of the fruits of the Spirit? He wouldn't, because righteousness is a state. It's a condition. It's who we are. That's already in us. We're hoping righteousness comes out of us. What would it look like when it comes out of us? Well, I think it would look like love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We'll talk about that last sentence in the next verse. All against such there is no law. What does that mean? We'll dig into that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.